Good morning.
Good morning.
Batya.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. We're going to be doing it rather rapidly today.
Okay.
Anabakoa, Gedula Chaminka, Tir Terura, Alafekimu Yutaf, Kaberinat, Kasa Venu, Aharenu Nora, Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Korshayukana, Giva Vacharmrem, Lungimodawid, Yudkafshin. Use the sequence Yudkafshin to bring any part of your body that needs healing back to its stem cell state. And then return it to its use as a body part. Barchem tacharem rachame sitkata amitamu betet resh sadi tafkimo hasim kadosh ero tukra nael adata Chet Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayim. Yachid Ge'e, Lacha B'nei, Dobrei Kedushatach, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. The letters of the month, the Resh that created the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Gemini. Shabbatenu kabel, shma kazenu, yodeh ta'alunu, shin kufav tzadiyutah. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Reading from the Parsha of Korach, section 12, to set aside tithing. Verse 51. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh adeinu kunamei aleinu maaseh adeinu kunamei. Chikuda batarda lehafrish ma'ash sheser The Levi Vihi Shavinta Mister Dimina Dihu Chesed Turuma Gedola Lukohin Misitra Dismala Dihu Gibura Turumat Maaser Levi Dihi Shekinta. The precept after this is to set aside a tithe for the Levi. Thus is the Shekhinah from the right side, which is Chesed. The great offering is given to the priest, who is Chesed. From the left side, Geburah, the tithe offering is given, referring to the offering of tithing belonging to the Levi, which is the Shekhinah on the left side. I'm not going to explain that. Later today we'll do that verse and we'll explain it. The reason I'm doing those two things rapidly is because I've been doing classes and I've gotten into the pattern of completing a class and answering questions for long. But this morning, I have a responsibility to the people who have to go to work. So this class will end at 6. Whether we have completed the class or not, we'll end at a place that's appropriate. Somehow it may go over to 6:05 in that sense. But the idea is to finish, and if we don't complete the class, we'll pick it up at that point next week. Does anybody have any questions at this point? For those of you who wish, just to give you kind of an overview of the class, this is a series of classes of at least 42 classes, maybe closer to 50 classes depending on the time, because I think most of those classes should really be more like 90 minutes long rather than the hour, so it could even be as much as 60 classes. The idea of the classes is to study the Sefer Yetzirah from two perspectives, and I'll be moving back and forth in those two perspectives. One is to understand it from the standpoint of astrology, and one to understand it from the standpoint of meditation. The first two classes or three classes will be not actually dealing with the Sefer Yetzirah. It will be preparing you to deal with the Sefer Yetzirah. That preparation is to change the way you think, to exercise your minds and your consciousness in ways that you haven't done before. And in that sense, there will be homework. There will be things to do to practice every week. Some of those will be meditations. Some of them will be brain exercise. Some of those will be verbal exercises. And some of them will be all three at the same time. The handout. If you wish to get a copy of the Sefer Yetzirah for yourself, you can do so in the next 2 to 3 weeks before we start really getting into the book itself. It's not a book. It's a treatise, really, as we'll discuss. But you can either purchase an English translation, or you can download some PDF files from the internet, or you can get a oral reading of one of the English translations. The book we will be using was a commentary on the Sefer Yetzirah written by Rabbi Moses Cordovero. It is a unique commentary in that the version that he uses has some verses that none of the normal, whatever is meant by normal when you're talking about this book, none of the normal versions have. He has some additional verses in his version, in the version that he used that he makes commentary on. That book has never been translated into English. And we'll be using that book. I don't believe anybody is fluent enough with Hebrew to want to purchase that. But if they are, please let me know. Are there any other questions before we begin? Okay, there are two handouts today. The first handout, where we will start, and then we will move to the second handout. The first handout is at the Yeshem website, yeshem.com/ the letters S-Y, the number 1, hyphen, the number 2, .htm. The other handout is at the Yeshem website, yeshem.com/ SY1 hyphen Aleph, A-L-E-F hyphen Bet, B-E-T dot H-T-M. This is the first in a series of classes, somewhere between 40 and 60 classes, that are designed to give a student of Kabbalah a personal experience of the Creator. This experience will be unique to that individual, to each individual. This is because each person is a unique desire to receive. And what you receive is based on your desire to receive. On a conscious level, we may think that my desire is to meditate or to learn Hebrew astrology or even to manipulate the physical world. This is a similar desire that other people have. So how can my desire be unique and create a unique experience of the Creator? Yet our sages teach us that our true desire on the level of our present unconscious is unique to that person. The deepest and most intimate desire that every human being has is to cleave to the Creator. This is something that I won't prove to you, because as you know, I don't prove anything to anybody. But this intimate desire to cleave to the Creator is common to every human being, and at the same time, it's unique to every human being. Sometimes this word, devakut, in Hebrew, is translated as getting closer to the Creator rather than cleaving to the Creator. For most people, understanding cleaving is not well understood. Getting closer to the Creator is also not accurate, or not as accurate as cleaving. Both concepts need to be experienced. They cannot be understood properly in an intellectual forum. The concept of an intellectual study of this particular book is absurd, in my opinion. It is done. many people study it intellectually. And if that is your choice, I recommend that you study elsewhere. I am teaching you how to experience the Creator. I'm not going to show you how to experience the Creator. You will have to do that yourself. I'm here to assist you. I'm here to caution you. I'm here to help you. But you have to do this work yourself. No one else can do it for you. Throughout history, many of the sages have used this book and these techniques that I will teach you to cleave to the Creator. And in so doing, they've verbalized, and some have even written down a diary of their experiences. But there's no way that you can read this diary and know what they experienced, because language is on a level of intellect, and your experience will be on a higher level. It's not on an intellectual level. It's on a level that is higher than your intellect. Most of the scientific world, in today's world, would call it you will experience it on an unconscious level. You will experience it on a level of your dreams. You will experience it not in sight or sound or letters or thoughts. You will experience it in all of those things at the same time. You will experience it in pictures. And those pictures will have meaning. And that meaning will be on many different levels. It will be difficult for you to understand the meanings at the first, but soon they will be clear. Moses, in the Bible, in the Torah, God says that he speaks to Moses face to face, in a conversation. But that conversation is pictorial. It's not verbal. That conversation is telepathic in a way that we need to experience to understand. How do I know this? I don't. My teacher told me that's what it was. How do I know this? Did I have these experiences? I've had my own experiences, different than my teacher's, different than any other person in the world. What my experiences are will not be what your experiences are. I can do the exact same technique, and I will go to a dimension. And you can do that exact same technique, and you will go to another dimension. And they're both may be the exact same dimension for all we know, but we will experience them differently. The Sefer Yetzirah is taught today in an academic manner. It was not written as an academic treatise. It was written by an astrologer and then redacted into its present form by a mystic. At least that is my opinion, based on the teachings of my instructors and from my own personal experience. The origin of the Sefer Yetzirah is masked in history. The Talmud has a cryptic statement that the Sefer was written by Abraham the patriarch, who wrote it as a book of proselytizing, his personal knowledge that there is only one creator. The book teaches people how to have a personal experience of that creator. And in order to have that personal experience, one of the levels of that experience is astrological insights, astrological science. One way to experience the creator is through the mechanistic perceptions of the science of Hebrew astrology. So revealed in the book is the underpinnings of Hebrew astrology. Another way to experience the Creator is to realize the unity of all things that are created by the Creator. There are also aspects of this in the Sefer Yetzirah that has come down to us over the centuries. Another important way to experience the Creator is through Hebrew meditation, which is included within the Sefer Yetzirah as well. These three things that I've described to you are separate, but not separate. And this is a paradox that can only be explained through your experience. It is my hope to teach all aspects of these methods of reaching, getting closer, cleaving to the Creator. In that sense, the teachings will not be academic, but experiential. Yet it is up to you to actualize the information and bring it into your life. That choice is yours. Since there are many different ways to experience the Creator, it is important that the instructor not limit the student, but provide advice. Next week, we will be given an overview of the spiritual laws involved by reading an essay from one of the teachers who taught me these techniques. This week, I am bringing you information from Wikipedia, as well as some Jewish sources, as well as my own experience to prepare your vessel to handle the light that is within the Sefer Yetzirah. The klipot covering your brain needs to be broken. That can be done with pain, God forbid, or pleasure. Each one of you will experience the breaking of that klipa in different ways. Some of you will not break it completely, but just partially. But even in that manner of a partial breaking will be a revelation of light for yourself. Some of you will find that the idea of different ways of learning the Sefer will be too slow for you. I apologize to you for not meeting your wants, as in my experience of this area, your wants need to be limited to your needs. Actually, it is better to say your wants need to be to have a vessel, a garment of your needs, rather than the usual, your wants are the garment for your needs. Please reread the above paragraph and make sure you understand these terms. This class will assume you have a background in Kabbalah and its vocabulary, called the language of branches. time to go to the second handout. As I said, that's at yeshem.com/ SY1-Aleph-Vet.htm. This is your homework. This is your homework for the rest of your life. This is a process of practicing your signs, practicing the Hebrew letters, not to learn them what the meaning of the letters is, because you will experience that as part of the study of the Sefer Yetzirah. But by manipulating the letters verbally, you break the klipa. By practicing with the letters, you break the klipa. Why do I say it's a lifetime process? Because it is. The more that you do it, the more that you add additional levels to it, the deeper the breaking of the klipa takes place. There is always a klipa covering this material, this aspect, this cleaving. Because the klipa receives its life force from the openings that you create by experiencing the Creator. And the klipa was created by the Creator for the purpose of making it difficult so that you can earn this pleasure of experiencing the Creator. If you look at this homework sheet, I'm not going to talk about the initial 7, 8, 10 lines. And ultimately, when I complete this, it will be 22 lines. But I'm going to scroll down to the instructions. Listen to the recording for certain pronunciation of the sounds. Here is a link to the copy and paste it to your browser to reach the recording. Read the Hebrew from right to left. The English pronunciation is just below the Hebrew letters, to the best of our ability within our knowledge of the HTML language, which is very limited. Say the sounds as clearly as possible. Say the sounds as rapidly as possible. The clearly is a priority to the rapidly, but that's part of the lifetime process of learning to say them faster and faster, but just as clearly as when you say them slowly. As you practice in the forward direction of the Aleph Bet, then there will come a time when you will start to learn them in the reverse order, starting with the last letter first and proceeding to the first letter last. Vary your saying of these rows, of these letters, Sometimes you'll start at the end. Sometimes you'll start at the beginning. Sometimes you'll start in the middle. Every time you change something, you are breaking some aspect of the Klipa. Continue your practice each time trying to do that row more clearly and faster. Then you start, at some point you'll decide, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm ready to go on, at which point you will not use these lines per se, but you will. You'll use these by adding a letter to each letter in that line. So you'll say the Aleph, and then you'll say Aleph, Aleph, Aleph Bet, Aleph Gimel, Aleph Dalet, and so forth. I'm not saying the sounds, because what you'll really do is Ah-Ah, Abe, Agi, Ada, Ahe, and so forth. Then when you've done the Aleph with all of the letters, and also in the order, so that the next row that you do is Abe, is where you start, not Ah-Ah, because that's the last letter in that row. But that will become more clear when we look at the rows at the top of the page. When you do both letters, two letters at a time, you'll also do it forward, backwards, and inside out. Remember, you are planning to do this rapidly with clear pronunciation. Learn the proper breathing as well as speed. Breathing is more important than the speed. Pronunciation is the most important. There's additional practice. What you will learn is that there are seven letters that have two sounds each. Do both sounds in your practice, not at the same time, but be able to recognize as you go through which of the letters are double sounds. And sometimes you'll do one set of sounds, one aspect of those letters, and sometimes you'll do the other. And sometimes you'll mix them up. There is no consistency here. Consistency, order, pattern is part of the Klipa. Randomness is what creates the order on the level of your unconscious. I've given you a link to a exercise that will help you with your breathing. It will turn your breathing back to that of an infant. An infant's breathing is the correct method and the correct style of breathing. It has no adulteration that's been caused by your bad habits that have slipped into your breathing. All of us breathe as adults differently than we did as children. Learning to breathe properly again is part of this, part of the breaking of the Klipa. At this time, you need to copy and paste these links into your browser in order to use them. Take a look at them. Work with them. There may be other ones. The only area of breathing that I caution you about, whatever you do on the websites, wherever you go through the links of the websites on breathing and learning how to breathe, whenever you connect to anything related to yoga, be very careful. Yoga is part of the Hindu religion. It is not exercise. All of the information that comes through yoga started in the Hindu religion. The Hindu religion is clearly a religion based on idol worship, Avodah Zarah. There's nothing bad about it. It's just its source. Because its source is from the negative side, it gives strength to the klipa that you're trying to break. So if you ever reach a breathing exercise, a breathing teaching in your studies, in your individual work on this material, you're doing so. Stay away from the aspects of the yoga. There are maybe some that have been integrated back into Torah. There is a way to do that. And if anybody wants to find out about it, I will teach it to you. But it's not recommended at this time. Most yoga teachers do not follow what's necessary in order to integrate it back to Torah. Here is some additional and extremely important instructions to keep in mind. This is not rote memorization. If you're saying these letter sounds as a memorized pattern, you're not breaking any klipot. The only way you break klipa is when you do something consciously. Part of the experience of the Creator is it needs to be conscious, not slipping into a pattern of rote memorization. Be careful. It becomes easy to do. You say the sounds over and over and over again, it becomes memorized. It's a mistake. Stay conscious. What do I mean by conscious when you're saying sounds that you're doing over and over again? We all have habits that we have fallen into. Some people curl their hair around their finger. Some people scratch their ear. Everybody has some type of pattern, habit that we've fallen into. How do you break out of that pattern or that habit? By becoming aware of it. That's what I mean by being conscious. Thinking about hearing your own letter sounds is one of the ways of remaining conscious. This practice is important and should continue to be done every day for the rest of your life because it keeps the klipa from growing larger. This series of classes is not an academic approach. I'm saying it again. Why do I have to say it again? Because you didn't hear it the first time. And you won't hear it this time. and I will be continuing to say it throughout the classes. Because if I don't say it, you'll forget it. It is an experiential approach. As such, it is recommended that you do this homework, that you do it every day. 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. Everybody's different. Everybody's busy. Everybody has different amounts of time to practice this. The more that you practice it, the faster you will reach that experience of the Creator. But the rate that you go also depends on the quality of the experience, the quality of the practice. Do what you can when you can. This should not be a stressor in your life. It should be a pleasure in your life. The first two classes are designed as introductions to the experiences. During these 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even 4, it is recommended that you begin the homework with this handout. Also, for those who wish to purchase a translation of the Sefer Yetzirah, or download an audio version, or pull up a PDF file from the internet, now is the time to do this. The version of the commentary we will use is not a popular one. It is based in Hebrew only and has never been translated. It is written by Rabbi Moses Cordovero, who was a contemporary of the Ari. In Kabbalah, everyone in our generation, except a handful of people, follow the Ari and his system. It is reported that Rabbi Moses Cordovero, who lived at the same time as the Ari, had a different system, and he does have a different system. And he is reportedly to have said that his system and the Ari's system are both valuable and both workable. But the Ari's system is designed for the later generations. And Rabbi Cordovero's system was designed as a culmination of the teachings of the earlier generations. We will integrate the Ari with Rabbi Cordovero's system of the Sefer Yetzirah. You'll know the differences. We'll speak of them. Now I'd like you to go back to the top of the page. And if you're not familiar with the letters, that's okay. You don't need to be familiar with them. You don't need to know their names. You don't need to know how to read Hebrew. If you do, that's good. If you don't, everything is there for you to practice the sounds of the letters. If you'll notice the first row, the right letter has a diagonal line with two vertical lines, and then a T underneath it. And then the letter to the next of it is 3 straight lines with 2 dots underneath it. If you go down to the second line, you'll notice that the first letter of the first line is the last letter of the second line. You'll notice on the third line that the third letter of the first line is the first letter of this line. In essence, what you are doing, every row is changed by virtue of the first letter becoming the last letter. This is how you help avoid memorization. But at the same time, this change from row to row to row helps to break the klipa. I'm going to say the sounds on the first three rows. I'm going to say it slowly. And then I'm going to say one or two of those rows rapidly. There is a recording. It's about 8 minutes long. It will help you with the sounds. It will help you with all the sounds, both the seven letters that have two sounds as well. Do your homework, please. It's now time to return to the first handout today. I'm going to discuss a little bit at length, because we're getting close to the hour. I'm going to discuss a little bit at length. Again, this idea that it may be too slow for you to study this way. You want to run ahead. You want to move faster because you have a desire. But the process of the Sefer Yetzirah requires that you do this step by step. You cannot skip a step, and you need to master each step. And you may not even realize that you need to master it. You may not even realize that there is a new step, because you're so used to seeing things intellectually and academically. Your consciousness, your perceptions need to change. Uh, I'm sorry if it's too slow for you. It's necessary. To that extent, I ask you to trust me and spend the 40 or the 50 or the 60 weeks with me. It's not something that you start and stop. All of the techniques that I will teach you, you need to experiment with them for yourself. And that experiment will not be done in these 40 or 50 or 60 weeks. They will be done over 2 to 3 to 10 years. But as you experiment with them, you will find yourself in different locations. Not physically. You will find yourself in different dimensions, in different worlds. You will meet different entities. You will have a stronger connection to your intuition, so that you know what the right thing to do is at any given time, at any given decision point in your life. That's what this technique and the delay in doing it, when I say the delay, to slow down, to binding by striking your desire for speed, will help you. I hope you'll trust me on this level. Here is the current Wikipedia page, along with my comments as of May 2013. There is a request in the on the Wikipedia page for an expert in Kabbalah to modify it, as it is known to be limited and incomplete, even by non-Kabbalists. This request was written in October of 2008. It's almost 5 years since it was written. No Kabbalah expert has modified the page. Why do you think that is? What do you think the reason is that no one has stepped forward to modify the page and present a more accurate description of what this page is saying? It's not a rhetorical question. It's a question that causes you to think. If you want to study this academically, as I said earlier, this is not the place to study it academically. But you're so used to studying it academically that a question asked by a professor doesn't get answered. A class where the students do not ask questions till the end of the class is an academic class. This has to be an interactive class. Questions need to be asked. The more that you put into this class, the more you will receive out of it. How do you measure what you put into this class? By the questions that you ask. I don't measure it. You do. If you think you understand anything that I say to you, you need to know that you are fooling yourself. What is the difference? This is a rhetorical question. What is the difference between your unconscious and your conscious? What does it mean to expand your consciousness? In the 1960s and 70s, it was a vogue term, expand your consciousness. Take the mind-altering drugs and expand your consciousness. Expanding your consciousness means taking your unconscious and revealing it to your conscious. That's what these techniques that you will be taught over the next 50, 60 weeks will do for you. The Sefer Yetzirah, the Hebrew is Sefer Yetzirah, in English it's the Book of Formation or the Book of Creation. It's the title of the earliest extant book on Jewish esotericism, although some early commentators treated it as a treatise on mathematical and linguistic theory. As opposed to Kabbalah, Yetzirah is more literally translated as formation. The word Bria is used for creation. This article touches on the correct understanding of the two terms, formation and creation. They refer to two different stages in the creative process. Of the four stages of Rabbi Ashlag, as well as two different worlds, as described more generally in the Kabbalah. You need to contemplate what is the difference between formation and creation, what these terms in your worldview mean. This is your homework for this week, in addition to the continuous homework. Please remind me next week to speak of the difference and also the meaning in Kabbalah. Our hour is up. As you can see, we've barely gone through the beginning of this class. It will get faster, but never as fast as you want it to go. Does anybody have any questions? No questions about what the homework is? Was it clear to you?
My concern is that the lines aren't always the same. You know how that, with Hebrew, how it, in some of our, I don't even know how to say it, it doesn't print right or it doesn't look right. It skips.
There's no coincidence. If it doesn't print right, it doesn't look like right. It's just an indication that for you, the universe is saying you need to invest a greater amount of time and effort and understanding, not in correcting the printing, but in learning how to see what isn't there. Or to ignore what is there. Now, I know that sounds absolutely insane. But it's not.
Even though it doesn't match what you're saying? Excuse me.
I'm sorry?
Even though it doesn't match what you read on my end?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What the universe is saying to you, so that there's no coincidence. If your computer doesn't work at a particular point in the process, in a particular class, your computer stops. It's an indication that you need to invest a greater amount of binding by striking. If you look at a line of Hebrew sequence letters in sequence, and some of them don't print right, or some of them are spaced wrong, or some of them don't, it doesn't follow it, it's an indication that the klipah is blocking you. We don't think like this. We don't perceive the world like this. But that is the real reason why your computer stops. Not because there's an electrical outage, not because there's something that went wrong with your computer, not, it has to do with the klipah covering the light. In order to experience the Creator, you have to be communicating on the level of the Creator. And His language is klipah. His language is desire to receive. His language is pictures. You see the letters. You see the alphabet of the Hebrew letters in their natural order, Aleph, Bet, Gimel. When you see them in that natural order, you are creating order in your consciousness. But in order to create order in your consciousness, you first must create order in your unconsciousness. That's what the letters do. Among other things. So don't be concerned that it's not printing right. Look at the paper. Ignore what needs to be ignored. And see what isn't there. And train yourself to do that. And train yourself to do that consciously. You've heard this story, that the Torah scroll is black fire on white fire. You've heard the stories that it's black ink on a white paper. You've heard the story that the spaces in the scroll are additional letters. Do you see them? Did you try to see them? Or it's just information. What's the difference between information and knowledge? Information is, I read in the newspaper that it's the monsoon season in China. That's information to me. It's interesting. Doesn't affect my life. But if I happen to be a commodities broker dealing in rice, the fact that the monsoon season has started in China affects the price of rice immediately. It's something I'm using. That information has become knowledge in my life. All of what you have learned up till now in your Kabbalah has been information. This class will help you transition it to knowledge. Are there any other questions?
Yes, I have a question, Anak. I would just want to clarify the homework because of the time that I came into class. I have one thing listed, so I want to make sure that I have it correct and that we're getting a recording of the class.
You will be getting a recording of the class, yes.
Thank you.
For those of you who have to go to work, it's 6:05 LA time, so I don't want to keep anybody from their their mundane tasks as much as I think what I do is important. You need to support your family, so I will keep this. This class will be limited to the hour. So go ahead and finish your question, Natanya.
All that I was able to get down was, what is the difference between creation and formation? And that was it. So I wasn't
okay.
sure.
Yeah, the other homework.
Okay.
The other homework is located on the website on yeshem.com.
Mm-hmm.
The handout is at /SY1-.
The number one?
ALEF-BET.HTM. When you look at that page and you get the recording, you'll find that you now have a lifetime of homework in a way that you never had before.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Have a beautiful day. Tonight's class will start at 8:30. And it will be the four phases, the first of the four phases. And that class will be very helpful in dealing with this class. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Shalom, you all.
Thank you.
Shalom, everyone.
Bye.